This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Governor McCrory has been touting the state's falling unemployment figures as a sign of a strong and improving state economy. But do those numbers truly reflect an accurate picture of what's going on in North Carolina? We'll talk about that today. Also, once again, the governor's putting some distance between himself and the Republican leadership in the General Assembly. What does that all mean? I'm joined by News and Observer political reporter John Frank. John, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Unemployment figures just out. What do they show for North Carolina?
Yeah, it showed a drop by a whole half percentage point. It's quite large, 6.9% now for December. And that's almost the benchmark there for, you know, where McCrory took office. And that means that the state's in a much better place. A five-year low in unemployment. McCrory's touting as the Carolina comeback. You know, whether that actually equals a comeback is still a matter of debate. Because when you dig deeper into the numbers, there's a big question about how many jobs have been created. Not that many is the answer. And there's also the issue of people dropping out of the workforce. And that's what's really contributing to our decline is the dropout of workers from the workforce.
Then NNO did a fine feature on that over the weekend that really demonstrated that so many people have left the search and are not counted. They are certainly unemployed, but certainly not counted. And that can account for a drop in the rate.
And there's other factors. I mean, there's folks who went back to school because they just gave up trying for jobs because they couldn't get anything. And the bigger problem that we hear a lot about from folks is underemployment. You know, they're taking a part-time job. And if they're in a part-time job, they're obviously not making what they used to at a full-time job, but they're no longer counted as unemployed. So the ground is still quite shaky in North Carolina when it comes to the economy, though the governor is certainly putting a positive spin on it.
And you're also talking about, I mean, the way we measure this, we take a couple of reports into account, and it talks about job creation, perhaps how many more people or fewer people were hired. So maybe you can talk about some of the data that goes into the report and how it gets evaluated.
There are a number of numbers here. I mean, you hear them on the radio all the time. You've got the unemployment number, which is just one factor. It's unfortunately in politics the one factor everyone looks at. It's not perfect science. It's pulled together from a number of sources, whether on the employer side and on the employee, the worker side. But it certainly doesn't cover everything. As we've discussed, there's lots of people that fall in the cracks here. You've got some other economic indicators, you know, consumer confidence and payroll data that we hear out of Wall Street all the time. Those, when you take it all together, that's when you get this more complicated picture of North Carolina's economy, and one that's not as easy to explain in a political soundbite. I mean, to give Democrats and Republicans are guilty of this on both sides, and the governor is seeing a very positive trend and really latching onto it. And we may be headed in that positive direction. The question is, you know, is he calling it a comeback too soon?
Right. And then some of the very larger picture, which is 6.9% where the current unemployment rate stands, again, not taking into account some of the other factors we've just discussed, but the official rate, 6.9%, that's high. That is high unemployment. That is nowhere near what we used to call full employment. And it reflects a drop in unemployment from the worst recession since the 1930s. And so, again, it's all relative, but I don't think anybody in the world of economics or business finance considers 6.9% an absolutely low unemployment rate.
And that's certainly not a number to cheer for that we would have heard years ago. And the political angle of this is really interesting because what you're looking at is the fact that McCrory took office at a time where really the state's economy could only get better. So he came in at a very good time to take credit for a lot of things that have been starting. And another issue here when it comes to the state's economy is we are so influenced by what happens at the national level, experts will tell you, that how much is attributed to what we're doing here at the state level is even harder to ferret out than, you know, how good is our economy right now.
Right. And when we're talking about politics, of course, the McCrory administration has a big stake in making sure that this news gets out because this is the legislature and the governor that's approved a cut in the length of unemployment benefits.
They did that, and they certainly made the benefits less attractive. And they're making it tougher for people to get them as well, new regulations at the state level. So whether that's factoring into these numbers, maybe a little bit, but again, those numbers are likely not the whole picture. And for years, we've had politicians take a very cautious tone on the economy. And McCrory, too, during the campaign, saying, you know, it looks like we're almost about to turn the corner, and very hedging language. And to hear him come out and say, great Carolina comeback, I think is surprising a lot of people who look at their bottom line and their job situations and don't feel the comeback yet.
All right. Well, let's take a look at another political story. This past weekend, the governor said he will not appeal a federal judge's decision that would strike down a 2011 law, or at least part of it, that would require an ultrasound before an abortion. So what's the governor's reasoning here?
This is another really interesting political situation. This law was passed in 2011, obviously before McCrory took office, and was challenged in the courts before he took office. But now it's landed in his lap. On an appeal, the attorney general represents the state, and he makes a decision on whether to go forward on a case in consultation with the lawmakers and McCrory. So McCrory's voice matters a lot here, and he doesn't think it's necessary to go forward with this appeal. For one, he said he's worried about the cost. These federal appeals take time, and if you get to the Court of Appeals in Richmond, ultimately a case like this may go to the Supreme Court. That's a good bit of legal cost for the state. Number two, he feels like the heart of the law is still intact. You know, the part of requiring these ultrasounds and some of these protections, as the Republicans call them, for women. And so he's ready to move on past it. But it's a tricky political situation for McCrory because he took such a strong stand during the campaign against any more regulations on abortions. He was asked whether he supported it anymore. He just said flat out no and no other further explanation. And he's been under heat this year after the legislature passed an abortion bill that puts more restrictions on abortion and even possibly could close clinics depending on how the rules are written later this year. And he's facing heat for the idea that that broke the promise he made in the campaign. So this is possibly, some folks are reading it, a move toward that middle where he feels more comfortable on this issue.
And talk about interesting politics. You said it's up to the governor to decide, also state lawmakers. So the leaders of the Senate and the House have said they think we should go forward with the appeal, right?
Senate Leader Phil Berger strongly wants to go forward. Speaker Pro Tem Paul Stamm definitely wants to appeal this law. Stamm's a driving force behind making abortion regulations tougher in North Carolina. And even Speaker Tillis has indicated he's leaning in that direction, and he opposes the governor's stance. He came out Saturday strongly saying that despite how close he is to McCrory, he disagrees with him on this one. And Reverend Mark Harris, another candidate in the U.S. Senate race, is also making it a Senate issue, saying the governor needs to reconsider his decision on this. He said, quote, "We cannot remain silent as one judge's ruling gravely affects women." And he's using this very strong language. And it's interesting to see this become a campaign issue beyond just a legislative issue.
And even more interesting now is the attorney general, who would also have to defend this or go forward with the appeal. Attorney General Roy Cooper, a Democrat, a pro-choice candidate who's running for, announced his candidacy for the governor's. He may be in a position to defend this, and he is already defending a bill that he thinks is that goes against his political grain. What position is he in, and what has he said about this?
Right now, he's still weighing the decision on whether to appeal, and Attorney General Cooper has made clear that he will defend laws in court that he disagrees with. We saw that in the voter ID case already. But this one, again, is another political pickle for him, particularly because now he's sandwiched between two factions of the Republican Party and who want to do completely different things. Given the fact that he's defended the case so far, when I talk to legal experts, they say he's likely to keep defending the case if the state does decide to go forward. But the legislature is able to hire its own outside counsel who can petition the court to intervene in a case like this.
Well, tell us, when you say if the state decides to go forward, the governor says no, key lawmakers say yes, and the attorney general has yet to say, who is the state? How does that decision get made?
Yeah, the state, when it comes to who goes forward, is Roy Cooper. The attorney general is tasked with defending all state laws, and so the ultimate decision comes to him. And he makes in consultation with those two groups, but the decision is ultimately his.
All right. So one other case now. This is the infamous puppy mill bill. The governor is strongly in favor of it. Governor McCrory striking out on his own. Yesterday, a tape leaked from Republican State Senator Bill Rabin with an expletive-streaked rant criticizing the bill and the governor. We don't have the expletives in here, but you get an idea when you hear this.
We know the Senate will not pass it because it is a piece of crap. So we will send it to them, and they will take the heat.
All right, there it is. And we thank WRAL-TV for that tape of Senator Bill Rabin. What's he upset about?
Bill Rabin said that and much more. We've got the full transcript at newsandobserver.com. He had a private meeting with constituents, animal welfare advocates, who really want the puppy mill bill passed. And Rabin was telling them essentially it's not going anywhere. He was an obstacle that prevented it from getting passed last session. And these advocates are thinking 2014 is their year, and Rabin's telling them it's not true.
And you should remind us what the puppy mill bill does.
Sure, of course. This is a legislation that would put a standards of care in place for large commercial dog breeders to require them to allow the dogs to have access to water, food, shelter, veterinary care. It's just the basics puts into place what most pet owners already do now. And because we've had more than a dozen puppy mills busted in North Carolina the last year. And so advocates really think this bill will solve it. Rabin says we need a tougher bill. Go even further. Ban animal gas chambers. Create a statewide abuse hotline. Now, the advocates who met with him are a little wary of that idea because a tougher measure has not passed North Carolina for years. And this scaled back version that passed the House last year, they feel like is their best hope.
All right. And he also complained that the governor and his wife put undue pressure on him and other lawmakers.
Yeah, that's some of the most interesting comments in here are the senator's view on the governor and his legislative dealings. The first lady definitely wanted this bill. She pushed for it. She came and watched the House vote on it back in May. And the governor has put it back at the top of his agenda for 2014, and Rabin's saying he's getting in the way. He's, as he said, it was bullied out of committee by the executive branch, and even more harsh words.
We will stay tuned. John Frank, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
John Frank, political observer, a political reporter for the News and Observer. On the state of things just ahead, why did no published works enter the public domain last year? Find out on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.